And now for the 2020 starting lineups. Appearing in her fifth game day teach-off, representing the San Francisco 49ers. She's a master of linguistics with too many ideas and not enough time. Hailing originally from Chicago, Illinois, the four-time game day champion, Julie Butchtenker. Introducing the 10-year Game Day Teach-Off veteran, representing the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a master of the platform and creator of words that simply don't exist. A coffee-pounding pastor hailing from the flaky capital of the world, Battle Creek, Michigan, Kurt Walters.
Definitely an exciting matchup today. These two have faced off in the past. Now it's time to welcome to the field our referee for today, Cross Point Student Ministry Director Mark Johnson.
Yeah, woo!
Wait, hold on, Eric. I'm getting a report that ref Mark Johnson is sick.
Okay, so he can't be here refereeing. We kind of need to have a referee for today. This is kind of awkward. I don't know if there be anybody out there who has any referee experience. Scott, hold
Monica.
On. Scott, hold on. We're trying to find a referee.
I'm just saying, I used to call 7- and 8-year-old soccer games. I can do this. It can't be that much more difficult.
No, that probably does qualify you and then some to be able to do this. But here's the deal, Scott. It's not like you probably have like a referee shirt or anything like that ready to go.
Shirt, got it. I got a flag. I got a coin for the coin toss. I brought my laptop if I need to review a play. I'm conveniently mic'd up.
Seems like it's almost meant to be, or we planned it.
Yeah. So against our better judgment, welcome to the field, referee Scott Fusel.
The best day ever. Woo. What up, everybody?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. I think the first thing we do is flip the coin.
So, it is.
Julie, the side with your face on it, heads. Kurt, side with your face, conveniently, it's tails. Sorry. So, because the script says you're kind of a big deal, we're going to let you call in the air. You ready?
Yep. Heads are going to be rolling today.
Oh, it's tails. Sorry, bud. Julie? You're
going to
kick, are you going to defer?
I'm going to defer.
Oh, that's a bold statement.
Oh, yes.
She defers. Strategic move. But Eric, Julie is your wife. Do you have some insight into this?
Yeah, Julie is constantly deferring. Last night, she deferred. No. It's chores. It was the chores, if you will.
So Kurt will be receiving to start the first quarter, something he's done in previous game days, so this is not uncharted territory for him.
But losing is chartered territory for him. Mm-hmm. Kurt has only won one game day in the last decade.
Yeah, 9-1.
Yes.
Not impressive.
Thank you for pointing that out.
But I feel good about your chances today. So to get us going, choose your random phrase, please.
All right,
Kurt, for the first quarter, your random phrase is... And that is a rip in the chat.
That is his random phrase. That's a reference, I believe, to one of those Insta, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat things.
Yeah, Kurt doesn't know that reference.
Kurt, you're up.
Hey, just a word on what we're doing here today. If you're here for the first time, you know, we just decided that regardless of any American spiritual orientation, you know, the one thing we all come together on is what? The national holiday of the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we're glad you're here this morning. And, you know, we decided about 11 years ago, actually, Super Bowl weekend is one of the least attended weekends across the country in churches. And we thought, what if we pair that with football? And boom, game day became a reality, and we've been having fun ever since. You guys having fun this morning? Awesome. All right, well, let me pray for us, and we're going to get rolling. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the fun we've already had, the food, the ability to laugh. You created us to do that. And God, we even pray that as a result of our time here, we might even learn something today. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, as Eric said, we're kicking off a brand new series today called Love, Sex, and Heartbreak, Crafting an Intimacy That Lasts. And I know some of you are going, oh my gosh, why are we, you know, talking about such things in church? Well, there's actually a couple reasons. Number one, because it's relevant. I mean, it's something that we all probably want to know more about. How do we create relationships and sustain intimacy that lasts for a lifetime? And then secondly, you know, God's interested in this. I mean, this is something that God shaped us for, and he has a lot to say about it. And then third, let's be honest, where do we learn most of our pictures of love and sexuality? We get them from, you know, sources that distort reality, that give us these kind of false pictures of love and unrealistic expectations of what sexuality is. And so in the end, what we end up experiencing is damaged relationships and heartbreak, which in turn leaves us feeling broken, hurt, wounded, alone, and we just kind of wish there was something more. And so we think God has something more in store and that he dreams for us. So we want to kind of dive into that today. We're going to kind of lay the framework for this today using some research from a guy by the name of Willard Harley. He did something kind of cool. He looked at the top five needs of men in relationships, the top five needs of women, and he put them into this book called His Needs, Her Needs. Fantastic book if you're interested in picking it up. And basically, these are really helpful. So if you're, whether you're married or you're single or you're single again or you're dating, especially if you're dating or if you're courting or if you're a student and you're just kind of starting to think about, okay, what's the kind of person that I want to marry? What are the things I've got to be attentive to? This is going to be huge for us because we all want to grow in how to foster greater intimacy in our lives. And so Harley, he found that women and men basically have 10 core foundational needs. And these are on the screen right here. These are in alphabetical order. What was fascinating about these is he found that the top five needs of men were actually the bottom five needs of those 10 for women and vice versa, which is one of the reasons that it's so difficult for us to foster intimacy is because we're just wired differently. And so today, Julie's going to be speaking to the women in the room on some of the men's top needs. I'm going to speak to the men on a couple of the women's top needs, all right? You guys ready to go? I am not convinced. You guys ready to go? All right, here we go. Let's do it. All right, first thing, number one thing a woman needs to craft intimacy that lasts in a relationship. Ladies, you already know the answer to this. Half the guys in the room probably don't. All right, here it is. Number one need of a woman is affection. Affection. Now, here's the thing, men. Affection is the cement for any relationship for a woman. All right, now the guys in the room are going, great. That's what I want as well. I mean, because affection leads to sex, right? That's what we're going for.
Typical man headed straight for the end zone.
It's game day. This is game day.
Okay, boomer. That's not what we're talking about. All right, so here's the thing. For women, affection is the expression of things like security, protection, comfort, and approval. All right, and of course the men in the room are going, well, how do I show all of those things through something like affection? Well, there's a number of ways that you can actually do that. There's all sorts of ways you can show affection, men. And in fact, there's even one expression of affection that captures all four of these at once. Any idea what it is? It's something as simply as a hug. A hug. You've heard it said that a picture paints 1,000 words, right? Well, a hug paints 1,000 words as well. Think about this for a moment. See, a hug can communicate, I care for you. A hug can say, I love you. A hug can say, you're important to me. A hug can say, you know, this problem that you're faced with, that you're going through, I care about it. A hug can say, hey, regardless of what we go through together, we're going to overcome this together. I mean, a hug says all of those things. Now, ladies, just look up and down the row for a moment at the men next to you. They're like, huh? Like, really? A hug? Like, most of us have no clue that this is the power of a hug. And so if you're not fully getting the affection that you long for in your relationship, it's not fully his fault. I mean, it partly is because, like, we got to be educated on this. But it may just be that he's never understood things this way. Now, ladies, at the same time, here's just a little insight for you. And you know this, all right? You know this. I'm just going to state the obvious. But for men, affection is synonymous with sex. All right, and so for men, this is why this whole affection thing is so confusing for us, because we often associate affection with foreplay, right? We're like, it's just kind of the precursor, and so a wife gives her husband a hug, and like, boom, he's immediately aroused, right? Like, you come home from work, and you give your husband a hug, and he's like, oh, baby, I didn't know you were in the mood, and you're like, I'm not. I was just giving you a hug, just trying to show a little affection, receive a little affection. But see, to men, we associate this as the same. We immediately translate affection into something sexual. So a huge learning right here, guys. Something that we have to understand. Affection does not equal sex. They're two different things. All right. In fact, I want to give the guys a challenge this week. All right. And here's the challenge. And before I give this to you, I want you to just hear me all the way through on this. All right. Because I don't want you walking out of here and going, "Oop, that is a rip in the chat."
Right? He's got that random phrase.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he didn't use it in the right context.
Usually, Kurt doesn't.
So here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest, guys, that you look for opportunities this week to express sexless affection. Sexless affection. You might be like, what in the world is that? Sexless affection is simply affection for affection's sake. All right, without the intention that it leads to something else. And that's not to say it's not going to lead to something else, but just simply looking for opportunities to show affection and to express that you care. I'm here. I'm concerned for you. And there's all kinds of ways that you can do this. I mean, you could leave a note on the mirror before you go to work in the morning. It could be something as simple as a phone call in the middle of the day because, you know, the meeting that she has, you know, she's really nervous about leading through it. And you're like, hey, I just was checking in to see how it went because I was thinking about you. It could be holding her hand when you're walking through the mall. It could be a hug, as we said. I mean, it could be something as simple as, before I leave each morning this week for work, I'm going to give a hug and a kiss. First thing I'm going to do at the end of the day is a hug and a kiss just to say, hey, I'm here. I care for you. You know, whatever we're dealing with, we're going to go through it and conquer it together. I mean, these are all expressions of sexless affection, and these are huge, 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 huge pathways to intimacy. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he's been talking about it for years. Take a look at Romans 12. He said, love each other with a genuine, and what's the word he puts in there? Affection. He said, love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And so think of it this way. You know, figuratively speaking, we all have what's called a love bank. In fact, Willard Harley, he talks about how we all, every person, you know, we constantly have deposits and withdrawals coming in and out of our love bank. And so our love bank system, with every deposit or withdrawal, is worth a certain number of, let's say, love units.
I'm not even sure what the official call is on this, but I just know you cannot say love unit in church. So I'm going to ask you to tighten that up a little bit.
All right, love units. So think of love units like love coins, if you will. Love coins. So like every interaction you have, if you have like a reasonably comfortable experience with someone, you know, then maybe a deposit is made into your love bank. Or maybe you have like a really life-giving experience. Maybe 5 or 10 coins are put into your love bank. Or you have just an incredibly life-giving experience. All of a sudden, it's like Vegas, baby. It's like, ching, 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 ching. That love bank is getting filled up. But see, the opposite is true as well. If you have an uncomfortable experience, it might be a coin is withdrawn from the love bank. Or if you have a reasonably painful encounter, especially with somebody whom you're in relationship with, that might require like 5 love coins. But man, if you have a really painful experience, it might like overdraw the account and you're left in the negative. And so this is so important to understand, because crafting an intimacy that lasts requires that we understand that we're constantly making deposits and withdrawals. And see, in a marriage relationship, affection is the context of the relationship, and we need to think of sex as the special event or the main event.
Did he just say main event?
He is the lead pastor, Monica. I don't think we should really question him on that.
Thank you. So here's the bottom line, man. We're wired differently, right? We're wired differently, and we like to do away with the preliminaries, and we just like to go straight to the main event, right? And yet what we often realize later is it's in the preliminaries that the context is developed. And affection's the context that actually leads to the main event. And so what I want us to think about is that affection and sex have to go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other.
Touchdown, Walters.
Yes.
Solid effort. Varsity message right
thank
there.
You, thank
7
you.
Points for the message. Another 3 for working in the random phrase. So at the end of the first quarter, we've got Walters 10 and a lot of smoke in my face right now, and Bush and Kirk 0. That's
right.
The end of the first quarter.
There is your first quarter in the books. And Monica, Kurt really has started off pretty strong.
Yeah, with the exception of the main event comment, it was an impressive start for Walters.
Impressive. I would also like to point out that I think Julie is doing a fantastic job. I think she's really bringing it. I think everything that she has done so far has been nothing short of amazing, but quite honestly.
She hasn't said anything yet.
Monica, please help me out here. I'm trying to make some deposits in the love bank, if you will.
All right, we'll let Eric head off to the ATM or wherever he's going, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Honey, can you pass the ketchup?
Well, I'm just happy that we're all together for Thanksgiving.
Whoa, easy there, Greg.
That wasn't me. That was the ketchup bottle.
Are you sure about that, Dad?
Yeah, I'm very sure. I didn't cut a fart at Thanksgiving dinner. I wouldn't do that. It's not who I am.
Yeah, Dad, we know.
It happens every year. The ketchup bottle makes an innocent noise, and everyone thinks you ripped one at the dinner table. They say they believe you, but you know what they're thinking. It's made every Thanksgiving a living hell. Until now. Introducing Heinz Relax, the ketchup you know and love without the uncomfortable noise. Now, when you squeeze the bottle, it simply lets out a relaxing sigh. So this Thanksgiving, things will be different.
Honey, can you pass the ketchup?
I'm sure.
Can I just say, I am so grateful to be here.
What was that?
That was the soothing sound of Heinz Relax. Looks like this bottle's almost empty.
Kind of sounds like
a relaxed sigh. I know.
That ain't what that sounds like.
Hey, everyone just relax.
Spare yourself from further embarrassment with our whole family of Heinz Relax products. Glass bottles, mustard, even mayo.
Mom, may I be excused?
Absolutely. Wait, where are you going with that?
My room?
No, put that down.
The boy loves ketchup. Just like his old man.
Heinz Relax, now available at your local supermarket. Must be 18 or older to buy.
All right, let's get the second quarter started. Julie?
Okay, got it.
Check your random phrase, please.
All right.
Julie, your random phrase for the second quarter is, that's what she said.
Wow, that's going to be a hard one.
Really?
All right. Ladies, let's do this. Thank you. Number one need of a man in a marital relationship. You already know the answer to this, but I guess I have to ask, are you ready to hear this in church? Okay, out loud. It is sex. Number one need of a man in a marriage is sexual fulfillment.
Touchdown. There we go. Wrap this thing up.
Premature celebration right over there.
That's what she said.
There it is, the random phrase.
I think what she said was pretty much just the winning points right there. We can pretty much just wrap this thing up and go home now, can't we?
Ladies, it is okay not to get it, all right? It's okay. It's okay to not understand why it's such a big deal, because it is not our number one need. So we don't necessarily understand why it's such a big deal to him. If you've ever been married, remember the, like, engagement process, all the planning, how fun, you're down at the altar. Okay, chances are, guys, you're thinking as you're going into this, marriage is going to be amazing because I'm going to be able to have sex anytime, all the time. Now, ladies, I'm not saying that this hasn't crossed your mind, okay? But you were probably more consumed with thoughts like the romance. I found my partner. I found someone that we're going to just create this life together, and he's going to be with me. And right from the onset of marriage, right, before you've even, like, you may kiss the bride, we've got two people merging their lives together, entering this covenant with totally different levels of expectation. What's important to him is not as what's important to you, and it's okay. But we have to be aware of these differences. And from the book, His Needs, Her Needs, William Harley says, the typical wife doesn't understand her husband's deep need for sex any more than the typical husband understands his wife's deep need for affection. So we don't get it, and that's okay. But in order to craft an intimacy that lasts, we have to be aware of it, and we have to understand the discrepancies, and then we have to be intentional then about meeting one another's needs. So young people, I think it's awesome that you are in here because you're getting this information in advance so that when you enter a marriage, you have some knowledge of what is most important to your spouse. See, we didn't have this years ago. I can guarantee you most married couples did not hear this information because it just wasn't talked about. You know, and it definitely wasn't talked about in church because Crosspoint wasn't around yet. So as a result, what happened is that marriages, they struggle. They struggle to create an environment where both partners' needs are being met. And so marriage counseling is sought. And this is what they hear. He's always pawing and grabbing at me. All he wants to do is ever have sex. I don't get it. And he won't even hold my hand. And guys, you're like, I don't understand. She doesn't ever want to have sex. She's so cold. And yet I married her, so she knows I love her, right? Ladies, your husband is not pawing and grabbing at you because he just wants to have sex and that he's turned into some crazy animal. God has wired us for that deep sense of intimacy. And for a man, that wiring's through the sexual intimacy. We all long for a deeper connection. To be seen for who we are, to be loved unconditionally. In Genesis chapter 2, this is a verse many of us are familiar with. It says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So two people here are taking a vow of loyalty. They are saying, you are my number one. We are each other's number one above anybody else. And the two shall become one flesh. It's a spiritual thing that happens. It's a vow of intimacy. It's how two lives are merged together. And then the man and the woman were both naked. Yes, they were physically naked, but they weren't just physically naked. They were vulnerable. They were open. They were transparent relationally, socially with each other. And so they felt no shame. See, when a couple marries, they're making this promise, right? This covenant of loyalty and intimacy. Nobody stands at the altar and says, well, gosh, I hope they meet my needs. I mean, we go into marriage, right? You're believing that your spouse, because you love one another, are going to meet each other's needs. And for a man, if his number one need is sexual fulfillment, right, whether we knew this information or not, he's thinking, oh, my wife is going to be there for me throughout the life of our marriage, right? Not just on the honeymoon, not just like for the first 10 years. I mean, ladies, think about it like this, okay? If you knew in advance that one day in the future in your marriage, your husband was going to show you affection once, maybe twice a month, would you have gotten married? No, because you're under the assumption that he loves you, and so he's going to meet your needs. And the same goes for men. And maybe you're in that situation right now in your marriage. Maybe that's where you're at. You're like, there's no affection, and so there's no sex, and you all are stuck on the hamster sex wheel. And that means that the man is not providing the affection that the woman needs, and so in turn, then the woman becomes unresponsive to his desire for sex, and so on, and so on, and so on. And what happens is over the years, couples can begin to feel like, oh my goodness, I made a mistake. And whether consciously or unconsciously, they start to see their needs being met outside of the marriage situation. It happens all the time. And Paul talked about this. He actually sent a letter to the Corinthians because he had gotten word that this is what was happening, is that married couples, it was like men were going outside of marriage, the women were going outside of marriage. And so Paul wrote them a letter and said, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we try this marital relationship like this? He said, but since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. And see, this isn't just talking about sex right here. What Paul is saying is let's take this to a higher level. You should be functioning in this intimate relationship how really Christ calls us to live and that you serve your spouse, that you put their needs above your own. And God has wired us that way. I think it's interesting that in a marriage, truly, your deepest needs are not fulfilled until you begin to serve one another. Marriage is a reflection of Christ's love for us in his relationship with us, and that he loves us unconditionally, and he loves us with self-sacrifice. And isn't that the way he's called us to love? Regardless if you're married or not, that should be our modus operandi. You know, Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. And so in a marriage, that's vital. We have to function in that way. So be aware of each other's needs, okay? It's affection for her, sex for him.
You see what she just did there? She just combined the golden rule and sex, and now I have a new favorite Bible verse.
Yeah, let's see how she ties it all together.
Okay, so I do agree with my opponent's statement that affection is the environment of marriage and sex is a special event, okay? But I'm going to add that intimacy is crafted as you meet one another's needs as you would want them to meet yours.
Touchdown, yes. Bushnikirk! 7 points for a super, super solid message there. 3 points for impeccable timing with, that's what she said. Well played.
Thank you.
And so at the end of the first half, we've got Team Walters 10, Team Bushnikirk 10. We've got a heck of a game going. And that is the end of the first half.
All right. Yeah, there we go. End of the first half. We've got a tied ball game going on right now. And Monica, your quick first half reactions.
All around, it was great. Wonderful random phrase incorporation. And probably the best I've ever seen at a game day. It's my first. Just remember.
It's not bad. We haven't scared anyone away, as far as I can tell yet, too. So, folks, that is the end of the first half, and the only thing between you and our amazing halftime show coming up is this quick commercial break.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Wishing I was watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you?
Like you, wishing I was watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Yo, where's D-Unit?
What's up?
What's up?
It's a smart world. Don't be stupid about how you get around.
That was close.
True. True.
Take a seat, maybe catch a breath. What a fantastic halftime performance. Monica, I'm a little confused because I was expecting some Jennifer Lopez, maybe some Shakira. With that said, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm sure some of the band members have hips that don't lie, but I think generally they spared us some of their moves. But what an awesome rendition of some amazing past halftime shows. Let's give it up one more time for the Crosspoint Band.
Such talent. Hey, when you came in today, you got a weekly. Inside the weekly, we have a thing called the connection card in there. Or if you've got the Crosspoint app, you can open that up, too. We have a digital version of this here card. Either way, if you consider yourself a partner, regular attender here at Crosspoint, you can put that on the card, update any information that may have changed recently. If you're a guest with us today, it's awesome to have you here because we know there's a ton of different places you can be on a Super Bowl Sunday. If you could fill out this card with as much info as you feel comfortable sharing with us, we'd appreciate that. At the end of the service, as you walk out today, you can take this card. If you give financially to Crosspoint, then this card, along with those gifts, pop it in this thing we call a joy box. And you're going to find the joy boxes to the sides of each door as you exit today.
Hey, we also do this crazy thing called church on Thursdays. So if you decide you'd like to sleep in on the weekend, no worries. Thursdays, we have the same great music, great coffee, same great kids' environments, and the same great teaching you're experiencing here today. We're here every Thursday night at 7:15, so get a jump start on your weekend and join us Thursday night.
Here's something super exciting. I don't know if you've heard about this. We are launching a new campus this fall, and we want to invite you to join us to find out more. We've got an information meeting coming up this coming Sunday, the 9th, talking about campus number 2. It's a launch meeting for that. You'll be able to find out where, when it's going to happen, the whole timeline for that, and how you can be a part of it as well. If you'd like to go to this meeting, you can RSVP through your connection card, or you can sign up online or through the CrossPoint app. Just look for that under the heading, What's Happening.
And there are all kinds of groups you can join here at CrossPoint, like Starting Point, Divorce Care, Financial Peace University, and our small groups just relaunched this past week. So check those out in the app or in the website at Get Connected.
If you're newer to CrossPoint, maybe you've been checking us out for a number of months, maybe weeks, maybe this is your first time today and you're intrigued, you wonder why we do some of the things that we do, like today, or you've just got questions about how you can get more involved or how CrossPoint got started and where CrossPoint is going, Explore CrossPoint is a great opportunity for you to come, learn, ask any questions you have. Lunch is provided, so is childcare. If you're interested in that, that is coming up on the 23rd out in our Commons area at 12:30 following that Sunday's service. So lots of ways in which you can get involved, lots of ways in which you can connect here at CrossPoint, and we are just moments away from the start of our second half of our game day teach-off. We just have this next commercial break coming up next.
Ship my pants. Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow, I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
All right, welcome back to the second half of our game day teach-off. Monica, one half in the books. What are you looking for in the second half?
Well, Eric, we've got some breaking news. Apparently, Kurt Walters is listed as doubtful for the second half.
Is it because he just really couldn't handle the pressure?
Well, no. Apparently, a Skittles incident. Okay. No, we've got some footage from halftime. Let's check it out.
Now, look. I mean, if you would have just landed this point right here, I mean, that was.
I know. Like, I couldn't get it out.
No, but you were right there. You were like right on the cusp of it, but you missed it right here. If you just landed this, you could have brought it all the way back around to here. You know, and like here, if we look over here. But seriously, if you look right here on this one, here, this page, this is the page. No, look. Here. Kurt, hey, you got to do this. You got, come on. We need some more out of you. Kurt.
I can't go.
Nope. Come. We need more!
You can't do it. You gotta go take the jersey and go.
This is certainly a first for a game day teach-off. It's already trending now on Twitter as hashtag Skittlesgate. But in any sport, it is always the next man up.
Well, no pressure there. Let's head down to the field for the start of the second half.
All right, man. Thanks for showing up. I can fill in for only one pastor a week, and I'm already at quota. So really grateful you're here. And this is American football, so... We're gonna do the best we can to get you through it.
Okay. I'm gonna need some help. Okay.
Okay. Well, this is the best thing since Oladipo coming back. So we're really grateful
you're
here.
We got this.
So to start us off, need you to choose a random phrase.
I like this one. All right. Let's go with this.
All right. I can read his lips, and he's not praying.
All right. That is.
All right. Let's get it.
That's an old Keith Olbermann phrase.
But Chris is a millennial. Does he even know Olbermann?
No. Olbermann is definitely old school sports center.
Well, hey, CrossPoint, so good to be with you. I've been waiting for this moment to be on this stage, on this field, for about a year. And as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I can't do any worse than Kurt, right? I mean, let's be honest. So first thing that she cannot do without is affection. Man, this is critically important. But there's a second most emotional and relational need that women have. And don't miss this. Her second most important need is intimate conversation. It's intimate conversation. Not just talking about conversation in general. No, we're talking about intimate conversation. Now, one of the things that we learned is that a woman wants to be with a man who cares for her. And really, this is one of the most important ways. This is one of the best ways that you can show your care and your affection for your wife, and it's right here. And here's the thing, affection and intimate conversation, they're intertwined. You don't get one without the other. You've got to be doing both at the same time. Now, Dr. Harley, they studied couples that were in love. And what do you want to do when you're trying to figure out best practices? You study those who are doing it best. And so he studied those that were in love. And what he found was fascinating. He found that couples that stayed in love, they scheduled time together every single day. And it wasn't just, you know, for a little bit of time. No, Dr. Harley, he found this. He said, while their daily time together, it varied. He said the time that they spent each week was almost always 15 hours or more. And they used it to engage in intimate conversation. Over 15 hours. And so there it is. Just set 15 hours aside this week. Set 15 hours aside. And from there, you've got it. I mean, but if you're just setting aside, but you're not doing intimate conversation, you're going to miss it. You're missing the entire thing. So according to multiple sources, you know, most Americans, the average American adult spends about 3 hours a day on their cell phone. 3 hours a day. And some of you are like, yeah, Chris, but I use it for work. Like, that doesn't really count. Like, you know, but okay, so the average American adult spends about 2 hours of those three on social media. So if you're looking for some time, if you're looking for 15 hours a week, it very well could be right there in your pocket. Now, ladies, I know you're probably sitting there, you're kind of looking over at your man. You just heard me say 15 hours of intentional time. You look over at your husband and you're like, well, I can read his lips, and he is not praying.
All right, Chris got in that random phrase.
Not bad for a game day rookie, and I would know.
But before you write me off, guys, this is game changing. This is game changing. There's three reasons why. The very first one is conversation. It's an essential part of how all other emotional needs are met. There's not a single emotional need that can't be met with conversation in one way or another. Second one is this, it's conversation. It's a necessary part for everyday problem solving and conflict resolution, right? I mean, we know this. When you merge two people's lives together, when you throw kids into the mix, when you throw families into the mix, when you throw your mother-in-law into the mix, like, you need intimate conversation in order to problem solve and find conflict resolution. You got to figure out who you're going to have dinner with this week and which friends you never want to have dinner with again, right? I mean, you have to be able to have these types of conversations, and it's in this intimate conversation. Most men, we understand these first two. I mean, these are pretty obvious. These make sense, but there's a third one that I want to take a look at. It's this. You know, intimate conversation meets a basic emotional need that most women just enjoy talking. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest for a second. Most women fall in love with men who enjoy talking to them, right? And just like men find sex enjoyable in its own right, for most women, the more intimate conversation, the better. And now in this, it lies the huge difference between guys and ladies. You rarely do you hear a guy say, man, I wish my wife would just talk to me more. You know, I wish my fiance, I wish my girlfriend would just call me in the middle of the day when I'm trying to get things done. Like, we don't hear that, right? We don't hear that. And ladies, it doesn't make your husband a jerk. There's a mix-up in the hardwiring. He's different than you are. Did you know that? I think you knew that. And here's the thing. Guys, this is incredibly important, though, because this is the second most important need for your wife, for your spouse. Because do you remember back to when you're dating, right? Think back to when you're dating. You went out of your way to talk to your girlfriend as much as possible. You went out of your way to spend as much time as possible. And you wanted to know what made her tick. You wanted to know all the things that were going on in her life. And guys, this is how you won her heart. Now, why'd you stop? You see, my wife and I, when we started dating, I was in high school still. She was in college. And so we'd meet kind of halfway and spend time just hanging out together. And we had been talking on the phone every night. We'd been texting all day. We'd spend time together on the weekends. And we'd just talk about it all again because that's what you did when you were dating, right? For some reason, you get married and it just falls off the cliff. And we've got to get back to this intimate conversation. And I know sometimes as guys, our wife is talking about something and you're just thinking like, honey, I don't care. I really don't. But you need to. You need to. You absolutely need to. You may be thinking like, I don't care about the PTA meeting. I don't care about Sally at the office. But when we do this, when we listen, when we're having these intimate conversations, we are satisfying one of your wife's most important needs. And you like to satisfy your wife's needs, right, guys? I mean, you see, a woman wants to be with a man who, in her perception, cares deeply about her and cares deeply for her. And this is a great example of how these needs, they blend together. See, you know, conversation, it blends with affection. In that moment, a woman feels united with her spouse, with her partner. And Julie, she actually unpacked this a little earlier, the leave and cleave principle. This is Genesis 2. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife, they were both naked, and yet they felt no shame. You see, a key to the marriage relationship is this unity. It's this connectedness, and it requires conversation. Conversation is what keeps you from growing apart in a marriage. It keeps you from growing apart. And so how can we increase these opportunities for conversation? Let me give you a visual. So there's two circles here, two circles. And what happens in a typical marriage is you get married and you used to talk all the time and then you started doing all these other things. You had your things, she had her things, and you just start to slowly grow apart. And what happens is, we hear this all the time, it's, oh, we just grew apart. When people come in that they need to talk to somebody, they need to talk about their marriage, it's just, we just grew apart. But it didn't happen overnight. It took all these steps. And if we can intentionally take these steps the other way, we can begin to bring these fears back together. This is how we craft an intimacy that lasts. It's when we find things to do together. And when we find things to do together, we begin to have these deep conversations. It creates another pathway to intimacy. It's actually like fantasy football, guys. I think we can understand this. Actually, check this out.
Should I start you or Julio this week? I think I'm leaning towards Julio.
Julio?
He's got a good matchup.
We're teammates.
It's nothing personal. It's just if I win this game, I make it to the playoffs.
Without NFL.com fantasy football, what would friends talk about?
So, how's your cat?
Cat's doing well.
I mean, who wants to do that, right? Who wants to do that? You know, things begin to happen when we have intimate conversations. We have so much more to talk about. We're more connected, and we have these new pathways to intimacy. And let's be honest, a man that takes the time to talk to a woman will have the inside track to her heart. Touchdown, Maloney. Give it up, give it up, give it up. You, my friend, are just spitting brilliance this morning, and I have to be honest. I think Johnny Skittles is holding you back. So I think you should think about launching your own church. I'm just putting it out there. So give us some thought. So,
we'll think about it.
Hey, 7 points for a stellar varsity message. Another 3 points for the random phrase. Well played. So at the end of three quarters, we've got a score of 20-10, and because my shift at Foot Locker starts in about a half hour, we're just going to keep this thing rolling. So, Julie, come on up.
All right.
It's our fourth quarter. Draw your random phrase.
There it is.
Here we go. All right, Julie.
Yep.
This is a tough one. Your random phrase is Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Yeah, there we go. Who doesn't associate Bruce Willis, right, with Christmas?
It's not the Bruce Willis part I'm having a hard time with. It's the Die Hard. It's just not very jolly.
Oh, okay. All right, I can do this. All right. So when Eric and I were dating, we went to a ton of White Sox games. We're from the Chicago area. We're from the South Side. And so it was White Sox all the way over the Cubs. And I think one summer we went to like 11 games. And I have to tell you, I didn't go because of baseball. I went because I wanted to spend time with my boyfriend. I mean, we could have been doing anything. It didn't matter to me. You know, I just wanted to spend time with him. And for those of us who have ever dated, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I mean, that's what you do. You know, ladies, maybe you have found yourself wearing camo. Maybe you've been fishing. Maybe you've watched movies that you just never would have picked out. And guys, we get it. Apple picking that day, you know, antiquing in Brown County. Yeah, We know that's not your thing, but you did it, right? And that's what you do during that whole dating time, because what's more important to you is the time. It's not necessarily the activities. So there's a problem, though. Ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, not in here, out there. I think what happens is that after we're married, though, I think women are more guilty of this. We tend to like want to now invite the guys on things that we're interested more often. And then if he doesn't want to do that, we tend to be totally okay with it. Like, yeah, okay, go with the guys. I'll go with the girls. It's no big deal. You go do your thing. I'll go do mine. I mean, we don't necessarily think it's that big of a deal. And this is typical marriage stuff, okay? We know this. We've all lived it. The problem is that now we have this information, okay? Here's the thing. Your intimacy with your husband is going to take a hit. Because number two, second only to sex, is recreational companionship. That is a man's number two need, is spending recreational time with his wife. So it just confirms the fact that they really are like little boys. They just want to play. But they want to play with you, okay? So despite what culture is telling us that, oh, yeah, let's go, machoism, hanging out with the guys, that's really where I want to be. Mm-mm. He wants to do things with you. He wants you to join him in the activities. And what happens is a result of us going our separate ways, okay? Marriage counselors hear a different narrative. They hear things like, I don't understand. Like, before we were married, I mean, she loved fishing. She loved hiking. I don't understand. Now she doesn't want to do anything with me. So we have got to remember, ladies, this information, okay, that it is his number two need. After 20 years of marriage, I'm going to be honest, I am still learning this, okay? Made a big mistake this summer. Eric wanted to go to the Kiss farewell concert, along with many of you. And I'll be honest, they scared me when I was in seventh grade. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't get it. Now guys loved Kiss, Eric loved Kiss, wanted to go. Well, it was in August, and I think what happened was we had been doing yard work all day, and I was just like tired, and you know what, the thought of getting a shower and having to get ready, I was like, no, just go, just go. And he went, so he went to the Kiss concert. Well, when he came home, I'm ready to talk. So I'm like, hey, how was the concert? Tell me all about it. Let me tell you, it took him maybe a good 10 minutes. He didn't talk to me. And finally, we talked and we unpacked it, and it's like he was really hurt that I didn't go. I didn't understand it. I was like, what's the big deal? It's your group. But he wanted me to go. I mean, it brought up good memories of his childhood and, you know, stuff that he liked. And so he wanted me to share that with him. So if only I had this information back in August. But moving on, recreational time, second only to sex. So here's the deal, though. Guys, this doesn't mean that you get to control the activity calendar, okay? This doesn't mean that because it's your one of your top needs that you're like, nope, we're only doing what I want to do. Does not work that way, right? The goal is to find mutual recreational interests so that you can get those love deposits flowing into each other's love banks. Because wherever you end up spending your most enjoyable moments of fun, think about it. That's when you feel close to somebody. That's where intimacy grows and you are invested in them and there's a connection. And Jesus talked about the power of investment. In Matthew 6, he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." And love bank investments are very similar to financial investments. So here's the thing. Think of your money, okay? Wherever you, let me see if I can get this to really go. Okay, first service. Oh, that's a little better. First service, it was here. It was very subpar. So wherever your money goes, that's where you go, right? I mean, you're drawn to it. Your heart, your eyes, your life. Well, the same thing holds true for your emotional and love investments. Your love deposits are the same. Wherever you spend those, that's where intimacy starts growing. Your life goes in that direction. So the goal is to find mutual interests. like the circles that Chris showed earlier. If we continue to stay in our, do you do your thing, I'll do my thing, what happens? We do. We grow further and further apart. We have no shared experiences. So what kind of activities can you do with your spouse that you can both enjoy? You know, that's another challenge for you this week. Try to think of things that, what can we do that we both enjoy? For Eric and I, we like Netflix. We love finding a show. You know, typically we'll spend on a Saturday a good hour scrolling through Netflix to start something and fall asleep in 15 minutes. But then we pick it up, you know. We love going out to eat. We love going to movies. And so we've got some things. Oh, here's another one. Okay, this will totally bond you if you're married, all right? Mutual interest of forced family fun. If you got kids, nothing will bond you and your partner closer than watching your children squirm with forced family fun. Eric works for B105, and so when they were starting to play their Christmas music, he said, I want all you guys to come on the air with me, and we're going to do like a, you know, family Christmas, Eric Allen family Christmas special. And so I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that is so much fun. Eric and I did a husband-wife morning show years ago back in Virginia, and so radio is another mutual interest of ours. I mean, we'll literally talk radio programming stuff. And the thought of having our kids in the studio, we're like, oh my gosh, they're going to get to experience this. So it took a little coercing, you know, but I think they really had a good time eventually. And all we did was talk about Christmas stuff. It was like, what's your favorite Christmas, you know, cookie, your favorite Christmas carol? And we shared our favorite Christmas movies. And when Evan shared his, I did turn to him on air and said, no, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Whoop, there's a flag. You know good and well, for that blasphemy, we are going to have to ditch you 3 points later because everybody in this building knows that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Okay, wait. I said the random phrase, but now I'm getting penalized for sending the random phrase or saying it?
Just happened.
Are you serious?
Yes.
This is rigged.
This is fake news, so please continue.
All right. Okay, I'll wrap up, all right? Here's the deal. The person with whom you share your most enjoyable moments is the person with whom you are going to build the largest love bank account. The person with whom you share your most enjoyable moments is the person with whom you'll build the largest love account.
Sorry. I was watching the live stream of Grace Next Door. Sorry, I was a little distracted. Did you just rap?
I did. I thought it was a good point. I thought I'd end.
Okay, then I'm going to take your word for it. We'll give you the 7 points. So touchdown, Bush and Kirk. We're going to give you the 3 points for the use of your random phrase.
Yeah.
But we are taking 3 points away because it was not okay. You know, everybody in this room knows it's a Christmas movie. So anyway, let's see. That's the end of our fourth quarter, and by the looks of the scoreboard, we got a 2017 win for 2020 Game Day champion, Chris Maloney. Give it up.
Thank everybody in the room that's made today happen, all the volunteers. How about our hospitality and coffee brewers out there? Kids workers, let's let them hear us in here. Thank them for giving your kids a great experience this morning. How about this Cross Point band up here this morning? Yeah. And then we have Eric and Monica, and we have Julie and Chris and Scott. Let's give them all a hand. Great morning. Thank you for being here. Hey, stand to your feet with us. We got one more for you before we send you out of here. Hope you have a great game day.